Well, this morning I am inspired to preach a message that I trust speaks to the hearts of all that are able to hear. I also suspect this morning that this message is one that touches us squarely where we live. It does me. And I just want to say at the outset that this message is for me as much as it is for anyone else. A couple of Sundays ago on Christmas, we read where the angels came and spoke to the shepherds that were on the hill watching their sheep. And that dark night, the angels appeared and they said, "Fear not. For behold, I bring unto you." It was a very personal message that they brought that day. They didn't say we are bringing a message to somebody else and you're just hearing it. But they spoke directly to those that night that were living life, that were facing the responsibilities and pressures and challenges of life. And they said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you," again, very personal, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There is one that is being born that is intended to be your Savior. He's intended to be the one that would come and help you when you cannot help yourself. And the message that they started out with was, "Fear not." And I suspect that they at least were in part addressing the fear that they probably felt if you were on the side of a mountain on an ordinary day, an ordinary evening, and all of a sudden a heavenly host appeared, you would probably have a feeling like you haven't had before, and part of it might involve a little bit of fear. And so I suspect the angels were in part assuring them, first of all, don't be afraid that we're here and what it is that we're about to tell you. Don't be afraid. But I also believe very strongly this morning that the Lord would have us embrace and believe into the message of fear not. That we would experience life absent prevailing fear. That He would have us experience life where we didn't live life absent praise and absent rejoicing and even happiness. But that the Lord came to bring us an experience where we could experience peace regardless of what we face in this world. I suppose one of the most repeated commands in the Scriptures in total have to do with rejoicing. The Lord commanded us to rejoice. There are many commands in the Bible that exhort us to praise. Jesus Christ Himself, in the midst of the waves and the wind and fear, brought forth the message of fear not. Yes, the Word of the Lord speaks much of sin and heartache and sorrow and trouble and grief because they're real. And Jesus Himself felt it. Jesus Christ, it said He wept over Jerusalem. Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem because He felt the burden of the souls that were lost that did not come to Him when He would have received them. And He felt sorrow for that and He wept just as we feel sorrow and we weep over those that have not come to Christ. It's real. Jesus wept with his friends when Lazarus passed away. He felt grief. It was real. Jesus sorrowed in the garden when he faced what seemed like a mountain that was bigger than what he wanted to climb. He sorrowed in the garden, and his sweat, it said, became as great drops of blood. Yet, brothers and sisters, this morning, a prevailing theme of the gospel, a prevailing message of the salvation plan, is that we would find peace and rest in the midst of it all. Have you found this theme to be alive in your life? Have you found the theme of joy and peace and rest? Does it reign in your life? Are you at peace most of the time? Or are you troubled? Are you at peace in your heart and in your mind? Sometimes we say, well, I'm at peace in my heart because I know my sins are forgiven, and yet we're not at peace in our mind. Our mind is troubled. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew in the 34th verse, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And another way of saying that, another translation is that do not anxiously worry about tomorrow. Prudent care was never forbidden by our Lord. We are exhorted in the Scriptures to take responsibility. We are exhorted to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We, as responsible people, have to face those things in life where we plan for tomorrow. The Lord is not saying, just act like it's not there and don't be good stewards of the time and the resources I have given you. But He does have a message for us that we not anxiously worry. Be in a constant state of worry and anxiety about tomorrow. I believe with all my heart this morning that the Lord has for us a higher plane than to live on that ever worrying, anxious plane upon which so many of us live. And so this morning I'd like to encourage you with the verse out of the 14th chapter of John and the 27th verse. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Again, this is a personal message. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so I ask again today, do we as Christians allow peace to reign in our heart and in our minds? Or are we plagued with troubled thoughts? Does anxiety prevail in our minds and our hearts on most days? If we had to define ourselves one or the other, would we say that we were at peace in our mind most of the time? Or do we live with troubled thoughts? I'm going to acknowledge right away that this is a growth area for me. I haven't arrived. but I'm learning. And I'm growing, but I'm not there yet. But I believe that God would have us find a place of increased rest in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. Jesus said that He came to bring peace. He did not say that He came to remove all trouble. There's a difference. He said that He came to bring peace. The absence of trouble is not a prerequisite for peace. I want to say that again. The absence of trouble is not a prerequisite for the peace of God. Said another way, the peace of God is not dependent on whether or not we face trouble in life. And yet, we as people so often make it a prerequisite for peace. So often we as individuals decide that I can't be at peace. I can't feel rest unless there's no trouble. And let me say it another way. Unless there is not trouble that I believe that I can deal with. See, if there's trouble that I know I can deal with, if there's something in my way and I look at it and I know I can move it out of my way, it might be an irritation, it might slow me down, but I know that I can get past it. That's one thing. But when we face trouble in life that is bigger than we are, which we all face, and likely are facing today, we often look at that and make that a prerequisite for peace in our hearts and in our minds. And I believe that the Lord, He has something more for us than that. It is not to diminish, to take away from the realness of the trouble that we face in life. The sorrow, the grief, the pain, the challenges, the unexpected events that are real. But Jesus Christ had a message for the disciples when they were facing the storm, and He said, "Where's your faith? Did you not have faith?" And they could have said, "Yeah, but Lord, it's windy, it's raining, the waves, they're bigger than we are. We were facing certain death." He knew all of that, but He was with them. The Lord today wants us to get a firm grasp on the fact that He is with us. And He wants us to be able to experience a peace that passes all understanding. He wants us to be able to enter into the rest for the people of God that He has for us, regardless of the trouble that we face in life. And yet we often feel like we are in a unique situation that is different than most other people. We can feel that way. And we tell ourselves and believe that I just can't rest given this situation. Folks, I believe that when we find peace at low ebb, when we find that our minds are in a turmoil and we are anxious beyond management, I'll say it that way, that we are failing to trust God like He wants us to trust Him. Isaiah said in the 26th chapter in the 3rd verse, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusteth in Thee." Perfect peace. Someone may say, "Well, I have never experienced that perfect peace. I've lived for the Lord. I've given myself to Him. But I just don't think that perfect peace is not out there. But how about this question? Has your mind been stayed on Him? That's what the promise was. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We come to the Lord. We cast our cares before His feet. We bow before Him. We look into His eyes. We find some comfort. And then we pick our trouble back up and we walk along with it. And we immediately lose our peace. And then we say, well, we pray to the Lord. We bow before His feet and here I am. I don't feel peace again. It's because you left. You picked it back up. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, whose mind is planted, whose heart is fixed on something that goes beyond our own ability, that goes beyond what we can do on our own. It goes beyond our own vision. Oftentimes, me personally, it seems like I'm tempted to lose my rest and my peace when I fail to have a vision of a solution that'll work. It doesn't have to just happen today as long as I have a solution in my mind that could work. But when I don't see the way, and it looks dark, and it's bigger than I am, and I don't even know how to define all the pieces, it's easy to start losing our peace and our rest. But what we're doing is we are leaving the feet of Jesus. And we are beginning to look to man and ourselves versus the one who came to be our Savior. The one that came with the message of fear not. I know that we are human and we're people with feelings. And I know that our experience is not based on feelings. But the Lord does not intend for His people to live a life absent of peace and rest. That is one of the reasons He came. Jesus Christ did not come just to forgive us of our sins, to send us on our way, continuing to be labored and burdened and weighted down with worry and fear and anxiety when He is saying, I am your Lord. We have a responsibility today to bring our thoughts into captivity. This is a central part of the message that I want to leave with you today. We have a responsibility as people to be disciplined in what we allow ourselves to think about. The Lord has His part to play, and He will play it perfectly. But we have a responsibility too. We have a responsibility to bring into captivity by the help of Jesus Christ our thoughts. Because it is so easy to take long journeys down all of the roads of all of the what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this takes place? What am I going to do about this? Oh, I've traveled lots of those roads. I've put a lot of miles on those roads. Night's a good time to do it if you're looking for a time to do it. When it's dark and you're in bed, your mind can just start to turn. And you can log lots of miles. You know, Delta has gold, silver status and gold status and diamond status, depending on how many miles you travel. Is anybody here this morning? Are you at gold status on the miles you travel, worrying and anxious, going down all the roads of what ifs and what about this and what's going to happen with this person? How is this going to be handled? There's no end to those roads. They go and they go and they fork and they fork again and there's no end to it. May God help us be disciplined as people of God to bring our thoughts into captivity. It is a key to peace. It is one of the responsibilities we have to find peace. I want to read out of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, maybe 4 or 5, start at 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are keys to victory. They're not carnal. It's not my strength. It's not what I can do with my hands. It's not what I can do with my feet and the mind that I have on its own. But rather, it is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, he goes on. Casting down imaginations. That word means reasonings. Casting down all of our reasonings, our imaginations, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Folks, we can allow our troubled thoughts to be exalted above Christ Himself. These scriptures teach us that we should bring into captivity by the power of God those things that would exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. We have the knowledge of Christ. We have the Word of God. We say we believe in God. We say we believe in Jesus Christ. We say we believe He is our Savior and that He can do all things. And yet, so often I fear that we take that belief, we take that trust, we take Jesus Christ and we set that to the side and we exalt our troubles and our anxious thoughts and fears above Jesus Christ. And this scripture teaches us that we need to cast down these imaginations, all of our own reasonings that can go on and on forever and all night long forevermore. Cast them down. Bring them into captivity. It's a responsibility that we have. We say, well, I'm not at peace. Well, what have you allowed your mind to be dwelling on? Good things, bad things, Jesus Christ in His power, or your own power. May God help us. We're not going to find perfect peace. I haven't. Perfect peace in all areas today, forevermore. But may God help us purpose in our hearts to learn how to be more at peace and to be less troubled. Paul said, for I have learned, in the 4th chapter of Philippians, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He had to learn. Instead of taking a defeated attitude through life, instead of taking the sky is falling approach in life, he applied himself to learn, to understand that he could face all things through Christ, which gives him strength. May God help us to apply ourselves to learn these things. Bring your imaginations and your reasonings into captivity. Apply yourself to understanding more of the Word of God, which will increase your faith. You say, well, I just don't have much faith. How much time do you spend in the Word of God? How much time do you spend on your knees? Romans 10 and 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Our faith will increase as we get to know God better. If you don't apply yourself to get to know who God is, why would we expect that our faith would be very strong in something we're not even acquainted with? May God help us to learn of Him. May the Lord help us press to find the place of rest that Jesus Christ would have of us. Jesus preached a powerful, moving message in the temple when He opened up the book of Isaiah and He began to read, and one of the things that He preached was deliverance to the captives. Do you know what holds us in captive more than almost anything else in life? Our very own thoughts. Our self. Our very own reasonings. Our very fears hold us captive. Jesus Christ came to deliver the captives. Thank God. He came to bring deliverance to those who are bound by their own fears. He came to bring deliverance to those that are bound by their own reasonings, that have shackled us, that paralyze us, that keep us from being at peace and yet bring us trouble, put us behind the bars of trouble. Jesus came to bring us deliverance. Question today, do your thoughts hold you captive? Or do you hold your thoughts in captivity? The Lord came to help us bring our thoughts and our reasonings into captivity. Jesus told Martha, 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 you're troubled about many things. There's many things that are troubling you, but Mary, she's chosen the one thing that can't be taken from her. The one thing that's needful. She's chosen that good part. Martha was concerned about things that were needful in their place, but never were intended to take the place of being at peace. What was it that Mary had chosen? She chose to be settled at Jesus' feet. Folks, this morning, settle yourself at the feet of Jesus. You say, well, I've heard that. I've heard that all my life. Of course we want to settle ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Yes, that's what we're all about. Absolutely, that's what the Scriptures teach. We are of the Mary persuasion. We're not Martha. And then we go right out the back door and we're Martha's. We're troubled about many things. We're not settled. Did you know I believe with all my heart that Martha wanted to be at Jesus' feet too? Martha wanted to be there too. That was important to her. It wasn't that was not important to her. Martha wanted to be at Jesus' feet too, but she was troubled about all these things. She was cumbered about many things with much serving. And we too, if we are not careful, will live life absent the peace and joy of God because we allow ourselves to be moved away from the feet of Jesus. We allow our eyes to be taken and drawn away from where our power and rest comes from. He's our source of power. He's our source of rest. He's our source of peace. But like Peter, He's right there, and we pivot our eyes to the waves and to the wind, and we begin to sink. And the Lord would have us today to keep our eyes on Jesus. Not just say it, live it. It's going to take deliberateness on your part. You have to be intentional about it. You can't just say, I believe in Jesus. Or I'm going to sit at Jesus' feet. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Word. I believe in all of those things too, but there's a difference between saying and doing. There's a difference between being deliberate and intentional about bringing your thoughts into captivity by the help of God. To stop the car, turn it around, and go a different direction and say, I am not going to follow this path. It's bringing me no answers and only more trouble. We have a responsibility to be deliberate about that. But if we get taken with all the cares of life, and we allow everything to worry us and concern us, as opposed to saying, I'm going to let the Lord take that one from me, we will never find the place of rest in life. And we will be captive. We will be held captive by our own thoughts and our own fears. Jesus came to bring deliverance to the captives. What hope the gospel brings. This is not a mind game. This isn't the power of positive thinking. This is serving a real God who cares about you. This is about serving a God who came to bring a message to you, saying, fear not. I'm your Savior. I'll be your God. You be my people. I'll be your God. You follow me. I'll take you through. I'll worry about these burdens you have over there. Cast them on me. Doesn't the scripture say that? Casting all your cares on him, for he careth. Doesn't it say that? Do we believe it? It's easy to say yes when we're not in too much trouble. It's easy to say yes when we're in church. It's easy to say yes when, well, of course, what else are we going to say? No, the Lord doesn't want us to cast our cares on. We all know that. But it breaks down when we fail to apply it. When we have failed to apply the faith that God wants us to have in Him. He's given us enough evidence to trust in Him and believe that He's God. Go look outside. The moon's still there. The sun's still there. There's life that's still being born in a way that we can't explain. Miracles are happening every day. He's there. He's alive. Let's believe in Him. God has a rest for us. Let's bring down, by the help of God, all of the reasonings and imaginations that plague us. Let's get settled in at the feet of Jesus. Not up and down. Some people are like popcorn. They're there and then they're not there. Then they're back and then where do they go? I want Jesus to find me consistently settled in at His feet. The good news this morning is that even in tribulation, God has a rest for the people of God. And today, if you identify as one that most oftentimes feels troubled in your heart, and you don't feel rest, and you hear the message preached, but you feel like that it's unattainable for you. Oh, the good news this morning is that the Lord has more land for you to possess, because there is more land with your name on it. The Lord has more peace and more rest for us. Let's be more intentional about turning our mind to the power and love that God has for us. So again, in John, in the 14th chapter where we started, and this 27th verse, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. I leave it with you. It's not temporary. I leave it. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And Jesus Christ did not try to ignore the tribulation that we will face in life and act like it's not there and put white out over it and just act like, don't worry about that. When he knew it was real in life, he addressed it in the 16th chapter. And the 33rd verse, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." In the world, yes, you're going to have tribulation. Yes, it's real. Yes, there are going to be challenges in life. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, and because I have invited you to be my people, there is therefore a rest that yet remains for the people of God. Over the last number of months, we've been reminded a number of times of the writer in Hebrews that said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of." Let us therefore fear. What that tells me is we need to pay attention to this. I don't want to be found in the place where I have not entered into the rest of Jesus Christ. The writer said, let therefore fear lest this happens to you. Because he went on and he said, this gospel that was preached unto you was also preached unto them. But it didn't do them any good because it didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Let's have faith. Let's believe. If your faith is at a low ebb, then give yourself to having your faith increased by settling in closer to Jesus Christ, by getting to know His Word better, by bringing discipline to your thoughts, which you allow yourself to think about. Think about good things, as Paul exhorted in the 4th chapter of Philippians. David said in Psalms 56, he had set his vision on the Lord, understanding that in the midst of the trouble, Jesus Christ was there. And he said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. There's times we're going to be afraid. There's going to be times we're going to feel and experience fear. When that happens, turn your eyes on the one that you have settled into, close beside. The angel said, "Fear not." I don't believe that was just for the moment. I believe that the Lord wants us to be able to go through life fearing not and having a peace and a rest. Today, let us purpose in our hearts to draw closer to Jesus, to become more acquainted with His Word, that our faith may increase, and that we would follow the Scripture, and that we would bring into captivity our thoughts that are not of God, that we be disciplined in that manner. And I believe that if we do that, we can be identified with the people whose hearts experience peace versus going through life troubled. That is the will of God for us. We heard a verse this morning that said, the Spirit of God is not one of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. May God bless each one of you, is my prayer. Amen.